It's about two topics. The first topic is the halacha is Ein Omrim Hallel B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim. We don't say Hallel. Why should we say Hallel? What's the Hava Minah that we should say Hallel? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Lefi Shev Sifrei Chayev Emesim Suchim. In other words, it's a time of that we're nervous, that we feel the onus, the burden of the Sifrei Chayev Emesim Apsuchim. And how is it possible to sing the praises of God at the moment that we know that there's some doubt as to what the outcome will be? And even though, and the Mishnah Berurah indicates that there's this double aspect to Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, we're coming to the din, we're coming to be judged, and we don't know what the outcome is. On the other hand, there's an obligation, sha'ono bituchim sh'neitzei zakoim bedin, that we're confident that we will be found innocent. And that's why the Torah says, based on the Yerushalmi, the Torah quotes La Halacha, that we come to Rosh Hashanah wearing white clothing, and we look especially good on Rosh Hashanah, and we make sure that the meals are very special, because of the confidence that we have that the judgment will be in our favor. Mikol Mokon, Tzorech Lomar Yorei V'Chorei Meimas Hadid, V'Hayidekei Niskar Liskos. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah tries to put both things together, and he says that our confidence that we will be found innocent or worthy of continuing Ba'olam Hazeh derives from the fact that we are also Yorei V'Chorei. The very fact that we have, that we stand before God in fear of judgment, that is itself a schus that enables us to imagine that things are going to work out. Then he says, the Rav Mor adds, that Noagim Lomar Avinu Malkeinu Al HaSeder, Vivu Shabbos Eino Mimoso. This is the second din that the Shulchan Aruch talks about, is saying Avinu Malkeinu. You know that we say Avinu Malkeinu after Shemona Esrei on Rosh Hashanah, and also on fast days. And we're not sure exactly what Avinu Malkeinu is supposed to add. So the Meforshim of the Shulchan Aruch deal with a particular problem about Avinu Malkeinu, and they quote the Beis Yosef, that says that, again, you have the first line in Avinu Malkeinu is Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lifanecha. Right? That's the very first of the Avinu Malkeinus. And the Beis Yosef says, you shouldn't say that line. In other words, you say Avinu Malkeinu, it's an extra supplication which is appropriate to unhappy days, like a Tanis Tzibur. Right, you add that supplication because you feel that on that day you need a little bit of extra. Mm-hmm. However, the first line of Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lifanecha, is a problematic line according to the Shulchan Aruch. Shelo lomar Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lifanecha she'eino mim vidui b'Rosh Hashanah. So again, we have this idea that eino mim vidui b'Rosh Hashanah, you don't confess to specific sins that you may have done on Rosh Hashanah, because we're confident that we're going to be justified, or that the din is going to be in our favor. So that, you know that on Yom HaKippurim is a day of vidui. We say vidui again and again on Yom HaKippurim. But we don't say vidui on Rosh Hashanah. Nothing. We don't even imagine or mention the fact that there might be some transgression, some specific transgression, for which we are approaching the Beis Din Elyon on this day. So much so are we opposed to vidui that even that first sentence of Avinu Malkeinu, which is not really a vidui, as the Meforshim point out, it's not as though we talk about some specific aveira or something that we did, that we recall, but we say generally, Avinu Malkeinu Chotonu Lifanecha, which is not something for which we would be called into court. Nevertheless, this notion that Rosh Hashanah is a day of joy, a day of expectation, is so strong that we don't say Vidui and Rosh Hashanah. And even the first line, you see in all the modern machzorim, I think that, or even the old machzorim, that line, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Vanecha, is often printed in the machzor in parentheses. Of course, the machzor does not tell you why it's printed in parentheses. It's sort of like you have to figure it out on your own. But what that parenthesis means is some say it and some don't say it. But the poskim say, except for the Beis Yosef, the poskim say that it's not really a vidui, and that the caution about this matter is kind of overstated. Then the second halacha in the second topic in this siman is Kriyas HaTorah. And so you know that on Rosh Hashanah, like every yontif, there are five aliyahs. And we start from Hashem Pokad Esora, from the story of Akedas Yitzchak, but from the birth of Yitzchak. That's what we read on the first day. And the Shulchan Aruch goes through the fact that if it's Shabbos, we divide up, of course, into seven. And then there's a maftir and a haftarah. The poskim ask about the maftir. You know, they often the maftir, generally at Shabbos, the maftir is what we've already read. As you know, that they used to give somebody, there were seven aliyahs on Shabbos, generally, and then there was a haftorah. So it wasn't clear to the person who was honored with the haftorah whether he was getting a good deal or not, because he would have preferred probably to get a regular aliyah. So that de facto, what we do is we create a maftir. Maftir is a harama. We fool him into thinking that he's getting an aliyah. Because the maftir is read from the psukim of the parasha, even though we've already read them, and everybody was yotzei, you know, those psukim. Nevertheless, the haftorah, we enhance the haftorah somehow by giving him also psukim of the maftir. Today, of course, everybody thinks about it differently, because a bar mitzvah boy who has to learn his haftorah, that's a lot, and maybe he also says the maftir, that's a little. So he figures the haftorah is worth gold, right? That's like the real thing. And the maftir is no big deal. But in the olden times, they had a different idea about the relationship between Chumash and Tanakh. And they thought that the Chumash part was more important than the Tanakh part. However, on Yontif, you read a maftir from someplace else, right? Usually from the parasha of Pinchas. We read a maftir that reflects the Korban Hayom, the special Korban that was brought on that day. So the poskim asks, what happens if somehow you got mixed up and you only gave out four aliyahs, and then you did Hagbe Galila, and then you did the Maftir? So what did you do? Did you fulfill the obligation in the Gemara, which is that on that day you should have five aliyahs, or not? So the Chasam Sofer says that since the fifth aliyah is not a maftir, a regular kind of maftir, where you repeat psukim that you've already read, but the maftir is really something entirely new, so that it's possible that the maftir would be sufficient for the fifth aliyah. One more halacha in this section that comes up from time to time, and that is that malin ben kriyas haTorah letkiyas shofar. You do mila between kriyas haTorah and tkiyas shofar. That means that in other words, the simcha of mila usually goes along with some food, right? You know, you make kiddush, you eat something. So the Shulchan Aruch Patzik is that before Kriyas HaTorah, you shouldn't eat. But it's possible to eat before Tkiyas Shofar. You know, some people are makbid not to eat on Rosh Hashanah before Tkiyas Shofar. It's one of those things that doesn't always work out, because on Yontif you should eat before Chatzos, but it's not always easy to finish Musaf before Chatzos, so that the midig, even in yeshivas, is to have a kiddush before Tkiya Shofar. So what we will do here at the yeshiva is we will have a kiddush. If there are people who are knowing not to eat before Tkiyas, they will maintain their own personal minhag.